For our scripture reading, we will once again turn to Psalm 90 and read Psalm 90. Let us turn in God's word to Psalm 90, and we will read the whole psalm. The Word of God, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Our text is these last two verses we have read of Psalm 90, verses 16 and 17. Dear congregation, how beautiful it is that this first day of the new year is also a Lord's Day, the first day of the week, as a day that God has set apart for us, so that we may be able to set apart aside our daily work and gather together not only once but twice. And here we may seek Him, hear Him, worship Him. And on this first Lord's Day of this new year, He gives us also a prayer. A prayer to pray, not just in this service, but throughout this year. A prayer which, when the Lord answers, will give us a truly blessed year. It's this prayer of our text. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us listen prayerfully to a beautiful New Year's prayer. A beautiful New Year's prayer. 3 points. First, let us see thy work. Secondly, let us receive thy beauty. And third, let us serve thy cause. A beautiful New Year's prayer. Let us see thy work. Let us receive thy beauty, and let us serve thy cause. The first petition here in this beautiful prayer is, let thy work appear. And thy glory, implied, is appear. It's a prayer for God to work, God to show his great power, his great glory in working. What is he asking the Lord to do? Doesn't say, does it? It just says, Lord, let thy work appear. Let thy work be seen. Sometimes we can pray that, and then you can wonder, what have I actually prayed for? What will the Lord do in answer to that prayer? Sometimes it can be so different from what we think. You recall how we studied Habakkuk and Bible study, and some months ago we began that book, and there Habakkuk is praying to the Lord for the Lord to come and the Lord to work. And the Lord answered and said, I will work a work in your days. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. His work would appear, yes, but in judgment. Is that what we desire when we say, Lord, let thy work appear? We say, no, not that. And then you think, when we prayed, Lord, let thy work appear, and we look around, and we see that our society is no better than the time of Habakkuk as he looked around Jerusalem and saw so much sin. And you see that we are pushing away God's law and pushing away God's word, and we don't want the gospel of Christ crucified as a society. Aren't we calling for that work of judgment? And as a church and as individuals, when we think back of last evening and our year in review and what God has all seen us being and doing, and then we pray in this morning, Lord, let thy work appear, then don't we deserve the Lord to come with judgment? Moses knew that. Moses was the man of God who wrote this prayer, and he knew the people were sinful. He said, thou hast brought set all our sins and iniquities in the light of thy countenance. He knows, and yet he prays, Lord, let thy work appear. How can he pray that? It comes out of a deep conviction and a deep trust in God and a deep conviction that God is good in all that he does, in all that he says, and that if he comes and he appears with his work and does great things among us, whatever that be, it will be good. You can only pray, Lord, let thy work appear, without prescribing exactly what the Lord is to do, if you have that deep conviction that God is good. And when he shows himself in his work, it will be good. Even when he comes in his judgments, it will serve for good. And yet I believe when Moses says, let thy work appear and let thy glory appear, you also have to connect it with verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord, his work, his glory, his beauty, and it fits also with verse 14, his mercy. What work of God most glorifies God? What work of God most shows how great God is in all his perfections, in all his praises, all his blessed attributes? This is the work that is prayed for, that we may pray for at the beginning of the year. Lord, show Let thy work appear, that work which shows thou art what thou hast said that thou art. Think of how the Lord spoke to Moses. He showed Moses who he was. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Lord, let thy work appear that shows thou art this God. How does the Lord answer this prayer? Cause his work to appear? One may say it's when he uses affliction for good. That glorifies God. That's his glorious work. Lord, let thy gracious work appear so that thy afflicting work would serve thy gracious purposes. That his gracious hand would be upon us even as he afflicts and sends difficulties and troubles, that in the midst of it, his gracious work would appear, sustaining and also saving and sanctifying even through the way of difficulty. There's Moses, there's all these afflictions coming on the people. And he says, Lord, let thy work appear so that these afflictions would be means of good. Isn't that something to pray for also in this new year? It's true, difficulties may come. We can't expect it to be a year free from any difficulties and troubles and worries. But Lord, let thy work appear in the midst of them, so that in the midst of them we may see something of thy glory in such a way that we have a comfort, in such a way that thy afflictions are used to correct us and to turn us unto thee and to find thy great work. Let thy work appear. How else does he answer this prayer and show his work? Again, when you think of these people in the wilderness under the wrath of God, the sin set before God, and therefore that wrath coming upon them, God shows his great work when he clears that sin away and he comes then with his favor. Isn't that work what we desire also in this year? If our sin is marked before the Lord, Lord, clear away my sin and show thy favor towards me, thy mercy towards me. Let thy work appear in this year. Again, what so glorifies God? Isn't it when he also provides and he shields in the midst of all the dangers that there are? You think again of Israel in the wilderness. There was all those dangers. There was those roving bands, the Amalekites, and they had attacked. And there were those other serpents and things. And there were no water and there was no food. Naturally, there in the wilderness, there was also, they were headed towards Canaan, where there were those great walled cities and those trained soldiers. Amidst all those things, what does Moses pray? He says, Lord, let thy work appear, thy work of defending us, thy work of delivering us, thy work of providing for us. And again, at the beginning of a new year, Lord, let thy work appear. We have to go through a year filled with dangers and filled with needs which we cannot supply. But let thy work appear, providing, shielding in thy mercy. And yet we still haven't come to that greatest work that most glorifies God. All these works flow from that greatest work of God, the Messiah. Let thy work appear, Moses prayed. Let thy glorious work of the Messiah already promised to Adam, that Messiah pictured in all those ceremonies that were taking place in the wilderness. O Lord, let that great work of the Messiah appear. In God, in Christ, God reveals his greatest glory. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ is the work, is the glory of God bodily, in his person, in his natures, and also in his work as he came to do the will of his Father, obeying his Father in every aspect. Also, he could say at the end of his life, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gave me to do. It is Christ who is the greatest work of God, and who performed the greatest work of God as a Savior, to satisfy the justice of God, to open up that way of salvation. And it's Christ who today still is the salvation of God, who still is the one who works that great salvation. Let thy work appear, and thy glory is a prayer. Lord, glorify thy greatest work among us in this year, Jesus Christ, and thy work through him. At the beginning of this year, we may pray as a congregation and as families and as individuals, Lord, let that great work of salvation in Christ appear among us, that we would have eyes to see it in this year, to see thy salvation so full, so free, so gracious, so perfectly suiting our need, our condition, our sin, everything wrong with us. Lord, let it appear in such a way that our eyes would see thy salvation through the preaching of the word, that we would see thy salvation through the reading of thy word as we open it in our homes, that we would see thy salvation, thy work, when we open it all by ourselves and search it. As he says, search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. O Lord, let thy work appear in such a way that in this year I would see thy salvation. Think of that title of the book of Isaac Ambrose, the Puritan, Looking Unto Jesus. It's a big book. There's so much there. But that's the answer to this prayer. Let thy work appear, thy salvation, thy greatest work, that we would be ones who are looking unto Jesus in this year, to his salvation. Let thy work appear. To us. And who's that us? First of all, he prays, doesn't he? Unto thy servants. God's servants. Taken in the widest sense, that was a whole covenant people. They were all called to no longer be in bondage in Egypt, but they were set free from that bondage in order to serve God. God was their covenant God. And so God also, as our covenant God who sets us apart, he sets us apart for his service. All of us. More narrowly, it is those who have a heart of a servant, who have come to desire to serve the God who has come to them. Maybe most narrowly, it's those who serve him in a special office. But shall we not pray for all these? Lord, all are adults here. Let thy work appear to them. Thy Jesus, thy Savior, that they would be filled with the knowledge of thy work and receive it and know it and experience it and live out of it. And Lord, those who have come to serve thee, Lord, let thy work appear more and more to them, that they would see in this year more of who thou art and thy great work. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, it says. Moses sees all those children in the wilderness. He's a prayer for them. Lord, show thy glory to all these children, those little toddlers, those ones that are running around, those ones that already think they're quite old but are still young. Lord, show thy glory, show thy work to them all. Also on a New Year's Day, we look out and I see the children here. And it's good to see you, children. There's others who may not be here and will be here. What is our prayer? That you, children, would see God's salvation, would see what a Savior Jesus Christ is, as a Savior, not only for older people, but also for young people, also for children. That he's a Savior who says, let the little children also come to me. He's a Savior who sends his grace and Holy Spirit to enter into the hearts also of children. Lord, let thy work appear to the children. That's a prayer here. Shall that not be our prayer also in this year? For the many children among us, Lord, let thy work, thy glory appear to them. Let them see thy glory. Let them see how great thou art, so that they would not just go through the motions. And now we have to pray, and now we have to listen, and now we have to go to church, and now we... That sense of the greatness of God would be born in their hearts in such a way that they would come to reverence that living God, that they would come to realize what they have... what they do when they sin against such a God of glory, in such a way that they would also come before him and plead for his mercy and also receive that mercy in him. That applies the children of thy servants. That applies not just to little children, but also children that have already grown up. What is a solution to all the concerns that you may have about your children? Whether they're 14 or they're over 30, what is a solution to all the concerns about ourselves? It's seeing God's glory. What makes God, God, in such a way that God would be so real to us. His work, seeing his work displayed in all his works, his glory displayed in all his works, but chiefly in his Son. That's enough to make the coldest person long for this God, and the proudest person break before this God. Let thy work appear. Will this not be our prayer this year? Lord, show us thy glory. Teach us who thou art. Naturally, we're so blind to God. We don't see it. It's set before us and we don't see that work and see that glory. But he says, Lord, let it appear. Let us see it. He's the one who opens eyes that are blind to see it. He's the one who also works in such a way that his work becomes unmistakable. That this is indeed his work of his Spirit that he is doing in the midst of the congregation. And how will that show? How will it show that we have seen his work? Well, his beauty will be upon us. It's our second point. Let us receive thy beauty. Beauty is such an attractive word. Beauty is delightful. Beauty is what you're drawn to. Makes people go to a faraway place. And they can then look around and they can soak in the beauty of creation in a faraway place and say how beautiful. It can even be this morning. When you look out and the sun is shining, you say how beautiful. But there's no beauty compared to God's beauty. The word here for beauty is a word that means pleasantness and delightfulness. God's beauty is God's attractive glory. It makes him so pleasant and delightful and attractive. This beauty also has the element of God's favor and kindness. Martin Luther, he said this word has something of a deluge of an overflowing of grace in it. And now this is the amazing thing. Moses looks up and he doesn't simply desire that he would see the beauty of the Lord. That's what we sang from Psalm 27, wasn't it? That I may behold the beauty of the Lord. He prays that that beauty of the Lord would be upon us, would clothe us, would fill us, that that beauty would be upon us. How can that be? He speaks of the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. His beauty is the opposite of what we are. We may have some nice qualities of character. We can be thankful that those exist. And yet the psalmist says, when thou for iniquity corrects a man, thou makes all his beauty fade away. Because those qualities of character in the sight of God are not true beauty. We may want to look handsome and pretty, beautiful. Scripture also speaks of physical beauty, of Absalom or Sarah or the daughters of Job, I read the other day. But it's all fading, fleeting. In our text, we have a true beauty, without defect. A true beauty that lasts. A beauty that will be perfected in eternity. It is a beauty of the Lord our God to be upon us. How can that beauty of God be upon me, an unclean, a defiled, disfigured sinner? It's what I am, of myself. And the only answer is Christ. He came into this ugly and repulsive world, surrounded by the filth of sin. He hid his beauty. And Isaiah says, when we looked at him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Is he not beautiful? He has no outward beauty. And to those who are enamored with their own beauty, they can find no beauty in him. But those who find all their own beauty consumed away by God may find such a beauty in him and sing, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." Because his disfigurement was the price of the beautification of disfigured sinners. He took the place of disfigured sinners, disfigured and marred by sin, and he appeared in the sight of God as if he were a sinner, taking the place of a sinner and enduring the wrath of God that comes upon that sin, in order to be able to take all that disfigurement and that sin away. And to not only cover in his beautiful robe of righteousness so that God would look upon disfigured sinners as if they were pure beauty because they're covered in the righteousness of Christ. But he's also the one who then sends his Holy Spirit in order to beautify, can I say, to give the beauty of the Lord upon and in sinners. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. This is true beauty. There's such an obsession with outward beauty. There's a whole industry of billions of dollars in Canada, probably, that is just to make people look nicer. People spend hours, people spend a lot of money in order to look better. And of course, there's a place to look nice. But if that's the only focus, it's so empty. Here is true beauty. And it's a beauty that comes freely. It's a beauty of God himself. His grace by his Spirit beautifies. Oh, what would it be like to see this beauty on our children? To see them having a tender conscience in such a way that they don't just say sorry because they have to. but because they genuinely are sorry for what they do. And that when you kneel beside your child at night and that it's that child's turn to pray and that child prays, that you sense there is this sorrow over sin against such a good God. Isn't that beautiful to see? Isn't it beautiful to see even a child come to see the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ in him crucified as a Savior, a full Savior, even for a sinner like that child? Isn't it beautiful to see a child show kindness and self-denial in the midst of the families and quickness to show repentance when they've done wrong? Isn't it beautiful to see them with a hunger and a desire to be taught the Word of God? Aren't these things beautiful? Isn't it beautiful to see youth not just saying the right words, but gripped by that word that they have heard about God and about themselves? What a beauty to see young people come to church with a hunger and a listening because they want to hear that word of God. Isn't it beautiful to see them also at home opening a good book, an edifying book, rather than wasting their time on the rubbish of this world, because there their soul can be fed? Isn't it beautiful to see them diligent and dependent and honest in their work and caring and compassionate for others? Isn't it beautiful to see them, young people, walk humbly and selflessly in the midst of a self-centered me generation? Isn't it beautiful to see the beauty of the Lord upon our children? And that's what we pray for in this year, that this beauty would be upon us. Isn't it beautiful to see the grace of the Holy Spirit also in adults that makes them true servants? What a beauty to see adults which are earnest and sincere and eager and genuine, ones of integrity. Is it not beautiful to see ones who maybe used to be so critical about everyone else come to become humble before God and esteem others better than themselves because they've come to learn who they are in their sin? Isn't it beautiful to see those who always had a but after hearing the gospel come to so see that salvation, that they come to love that Savior, and that Savior is now the one that they desire to exalt? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful to see those who were so self-centered become truly caring for another, truly desiring to serve in self-sacrificing ways, to see the greedy become generous, the harsh become gentle, the cold become loving, the untrustworthy becoming trustworthy? Isn't there a beauty to this grace of God by His Spirit? A beauty to see someone in the midst of suffering and yet not filled with complaints, but speaking well of the Lord, and even rejoicing in God my Savior with Habakkuk. Isn't there a beauty in the grace of God? His grace by His Spirit, it doesn't disfigure, but it beautifies. Congregation, we can continue, but the point is that there is such a beauty in the work of the Holy Spirit. And if this beauty of the Lord would rest upon us by His Spirit in this year, would it not be a beautiful sight that God would see His own work in us, and that work would be apparent and would be clear also to those around us? People would see there is a living God who beautifies those who confess before Him their corruption and their sin. Maybe you say, "Now, Pastor, that's a very idealistic picture you're painting this morning. That picture of our families, of me, of our congregation, of the churches in this area, the beauty upon us. Can you be content with less? Can you be content with less? Then this beauty of his grace upon us and in us, this is a fruit of seeing that work of the Lord, his salvation by his Spirit, that it changes and transforms. This is what we pray for. This is what we desire, or not? Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And when you see something of that beauty, full grace of God in another, let it stir you up to look to that source of that grace and say, Lord, let it also be upon me. And when you see it lacking, let it only stir up the prayer the more. Lord, let that beautiful grace be upon us. Grant us thy beauty. We have no beauty. We have no fruit of the Spirit of ourselves. Lord, thy beauty upon us. That we may share in it. That may be shown. And when that beauty is upon us, or when we desire that beauty upon us, then we will not only pray, but also work, which is our final point. A beautiful New Year's prayer. Let us see thy work. Let us receive thy beauty. And third, let us serve thy cause. Moses has been so filled with God, hasn't he? Thy mercy, thy work, thy glory, thy beauty. And now he comes to the work of our hands. It almost seems anticlimactic, doesn't it, after speaking of God's great things, than to speak about the work of my little hands. What is that work? And yet it goes together. There is a saying which is often used as a name of different societies in church, ora et labora, or in English, pray and work. It's what we have here in the text. Pray and work in that order, but connected together. Establish the work of our hands. It's still prayer, but now it's a prayer not only that his work would appear directly, but that he would also work through the work of my hands. That the Lord would use me as a means. That's the prayer here. Lord, do thy work also through us and our work of our hands. What work is he praying for God to establish? Again, it's not defined exactly what that work is, but it is the work of God's servants. Right? We cannot pray God to establish the work of our hands if we are using our hands to serve the devil. Doesn't go together. The work of our hands in service to thee. God cannot establish the works of sin. None of us in good conscience can pray for God to prosper our sinful activities or help us reach our selfish goals this year. Let us be thy servants and establish that work of our hands. We cannot pray God to establish our self-righteous works, our religious activities we engage in and secretly settle ourselves on as a ground of our hope. Not establish our self-righteous work. Establish the work done in service to thee. What is that work? It could be our daily calling. On the farm, in the business, in the home, at school, wherever. Your daily calling is a work of your hands. Lord, establish it. We can pray that. when our desire is that it would serve our welfare and God's honor, then we're called to labor in this year as to the Lord. Our daily work is to be a service of the Lord, who gives us that calling in life, that task in life. Then we can pray, Lord, establish it. Cause it to stand. Cause it to be blessed. Cause it to be effectual. The work that I do as a mother in the home. The work that I do as a father or as a single. The work that I do in the school, wherever. Lord, without thy blessing, it'll come to nothing, no matter how hard I work. Enable me and bless the work of our hands. How blessed to work and to labor in that way, in that dependence on him, for him to establish that work and him also to use that work for good, for the honor of his name. Lord, establish the work. We also pray for the Lord to establish every good work. Paul charges in 1 Corinthians 15, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He said that to the Corinthians generally in this year. If your desire is, Lord, let thy work appear, and let thy glory be seen, and let thy beauty be upon us, will you not also ask, now how can I be a means in God's hand for God to answer that prayer? You pray, Lord, let thy beauty be upon my children, and let them see thy salvation. Then also that question comes, doesn't it? How can I be a means for my children to see it? Oh, let me teach them. And Lord, establish the work as I teach them. Lord, let me be an example for them. And establish also that for their good. If we desire that his work would appear in the midst of the congregation, then it's also a question, how can I serve in the midst of the congregation, right? How can I be a means of good in the midst of the congregation? And we hope to hear more of that this afternoon. And Lord, bless that work. Whether it's in teaching Sunday school or whether it's in contributing in the midst of the societies and classes, whether it's in signing up and cleaning list or whatever else, but how may I serve? And Lord, wilt thou bless all this labor that is done. Establish the work of thy hand, of our hands. Will that not also be the prayer of the congregation for the consistory? For also me as your minister, Lord, establish the work of his hands as well. That in this year you would be in prayer for the ministry of the word as that great means that God uses in order to cause his work of salvation to appear and also to cause that beauty of the Lord to be upon us. Shall we not also be in prayer? I say it to myself that I would be more in prayer for that ministry and also that you would be more in prayer for that ministry as the work of the hands, that he would establish it and he would bless it among us as a congregation. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord a city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. And that so at the beginning of this year, we would look unto this God. O Lord, we are called to build, we are called to watch, we are called to teach, but establish thou the work of our hands. When the Lord is pleased to establish his work through weak means, we may have little strength as a congregation. And yet we will have the richest blessing that a human being can receive. That is the work of God himself among us. A work which becomes so clearly his work as he teaches our own helplessness and sin, the work of his salvation, and his own beauty upon us, changing us renewing us, filling us. A work that he begins, a work that he is never done doing, until he has perfected that work one day. And until he has perfected it, he gives this prayer: Lord, let us see thy work. Let us receive thy beauty. Let us serve thy cause. What a beautiful prayer. And even more beautiful is when God answers that prayer among us. Amen.